Our candidates and catechumens are entering the church this year in a special year. It's a Jubilee Year of Mercy. So we have Jubilee years every 25 years. And once in a while, there are also extraordinary Jubilee years. So this is actually not one of the usual every 25 years. This is an extraordinary Jubilee year. There's only been three of them in the history of the church. And they're defined by the Holy Father when he is inspired in such a way that there's a particular need for this time and place, right here and now. The church has a special need. And what Pope Francis has been saying is that the world is very wounded right now, and there is a special need for mercy. And so what a great year to be entering the church, this year of mercy, because to know mercy is really to know God. Pope Benedict XVI said that God's face is mercy. God's face is mercy. That's who God is. And so we're kind of challenged to like go deeper and try to understand like what mercy means. Does it just mean forgiveness? You know, a washing away of one's sins? That's good. But it's much more expansive than just the forgiveness of sins. And in order to kind of get in touch with the mind of Pope Francis as far as what does mercy mean, we might just turn to Pope Francis's prayer for the year of mercy. You know, there's a saying in the church, you believe as you pray. Okay, so our prayer reveals more about our belief than even just kind of what we say or even in the creed. So how we're praying and what we're praying is deeply connected to what we believe. And so this prayer, I think, captures in a powerful way what Pope Francis means by mercy. And so Pope Francis is verbose, and so you can see that this prayer, on the back of this prayer card, there's a lot of words, so I'm not going to say the whole prayer. But there's just one point that I want to bring out, and it helps us kind of helps to kind of flesh out like what he means when he's talking about mercy here. He said this: "Let us hear, as if addressed to each one of us, the words that you spoke to the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God." Okay, the Samaritan woman, if you knew the gift of God, does that sound familiar? That's the gospel we just heard, right? So, if you knew the gift of God, and so what is this gift of God? Well, we heard about in the second reading, it's the Holy Spirit and the love of God being poured into our hearts. That's what the gift of God is. St. Augustine explicitly says, the gift of God is the Holy Spirit, and we know that the Holy Spirit is the love of God. And so, if you knew the gift of God, look what Pope Francis is saying here. It's not an objective truth that he's talking about as far as the Holy Spirit is the love of God, and knowing in your mind intellectually what the gift of God is. Okay, I know it's love, it's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, let's hear, as if addressed to each one of us, the words of Jesus to the Samaritan woman. Jesus coming and speaking to you and saying, if you just knew the gift of God. Look how Pope Francis wants to take what we believe in our faith and personalize it. That it's addressed to each one of us. If we could just catch an ember, just a small ember of what that means, to know the gift of God, that God's love in our life, it would transform us completely, entirely. Because we would be operating on another level. We would be operating not on the level of human love, which is always imperfect in the sense that it contains self-interest, what's in it kind of in it for me, but purely on the love of God, which is complete gift, completely generous. And we'd be living in that Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that wonderful, expansive, creative exchange of love. And so what we're called to is to drink from the love of God. So we want to receive this water that's springing up and that will satisfy us, because we're made for God's love. And if we don't receive God's love, or we're not connecting with God's love, we're going to be restless. And so we're going to try to find a million different ways to satisfy our soul. We're going to be running around with like our chicken with our heads cut off, right? Something will satisfy us. But the reason we're not satisfied is because we're made for this eternal water, this eternal spring, if you knew the gift of God. And so receiving that love we're also called to give that love out. We're called to give God's love out. Not merely human love, but God's love. What does that mean? St. Catherine of Siena fleshes it out nicely. She talks about different types of love, imperfect types of love and perfect love. And she starts off by the most imperfect type of love, which is acceptable to God, but it's very imperfect, so it has sin in it. It's polluted a bit. Is the kind of love that in which one is motivated out of fear. So if I don't do the right thing, I don't do the good for my neighbor, it's because I'm afraid of the punishment that will be incurred. So for example, there were many times growing up where I was motivated to do the right thing out of fear of punishment. So if we went to church and I was not being good, which was often, I would have been carried out a lot, all right? If that was happening and I was not being good, I knew the punishment would be, well, in that time, time out and being grounded was not yet invented, okay? And so I would be good because out of the fear, threat of punishment, right? Okay, so that's the lowest level of love. She says that's imperfect. That's not God's love yet. So the second level, well, the second level is to do the good, not because I'm fearing I'm going to be punished, the fear of hell, whatever it might be. I'm doing the good because there's going to be something in it for me. There's some self-interest, right? That it's going to be utility. There's going to be some benefit to me. It's pragmatic. It's going to help me. So when I was a method that my mother used to motivate me was a chip system. So my brothers and I, if we did our chores, we did our prayers, cleaned our room, we'd get chips. So you pull some chips, and then after a while, you have enough chips, and you're able to choose some kind of a prize, right? So it was a benefit to us. All right? She says that's still imperfect love. That's not God's love. She says God's love is to will the good of the other and do good for the other for the sake of the other and not because I'm going to get anything in return. That's the way that God loves us, and that's the way that we are called to love one another. Let me tell you, catechumens and candidates, your love for God is going to have to go to that highest level, just like everyone's in here. And because as St. Catherine says, we can't just stay on the first or second step. It has to keep moving up or we'll actually go back down into the pit. That's why when Dr. Sri was here, he was saying after 3 years, one out of every three people that entered the church will not be in the Catholic Church. All right? And why is that? Well, because there has to be movement and growth in the interior life. And so what I'm meaning here is a lot of Catholics, a lot of Americans, or probably just across the board, it's just a culture of all nations, is that we go to church now more motivated because we want to get something out of it, right? Is that okay? Yes. Is it imperfect? Yes, right? Because this second step, the second level of love, is concerned about self-interest. I'm going to get some kind of a benefit out of it. What we're being challenged to is to love God, not because we're getting anything out of it, but as just purely willing and doing the good for the other, for the sake of the other. Think about this in a marriage also, how this could transform marriage, the spiritual type of love in which we drink of the love of God. If I'm motivated to love my spouse because I'm getting something out of it, the reality is all new couples, that's 80% of the way that they love, right? That's okay. But if it doesn't go to the next level, in 10 years, they won't be together. Does that make sense? Because all of the benefits, many of the benefits that they were experiencing in the beginning, you know, the great feeling and joy, the difficulties and hardness of life, the wear and tear on the body, all of those things are going to compromise, you know, the delights that we had in the beginning of the relationship. And so if we don't move to loving our spouse, not for something that we're getting from them, but just for the sake of their good, our love won't stay the same. It's going to go south. And then I'm going to stay in the relationship because I don't want the punishments that are connected with divorce, right? But it won't stay there. It'll end up it'll end up fractured and broken. And so, what a gospel that we have today. If you knew the gift of God, can we internalize that? Can we hear that spoken to each one of us personally? That God gives himself to us completely, unconditionally. And that then we, in turn, find satisfaction and meaning for our lives and share that same kind of love out to other people. Because again, as St. Catherine of Siena says, we can't love God out of just loving God purely because God is good, because God is so far above us. She says that the way that we love God is by extending this non-conditional love to our neighbor. Because it's only our neighbor who can extend a type of love that in which or relate to us in such a way that we do something for them and we're not going to get anything out of it. And so we can love them gratuitously. She says so that we end up loving God through our neighbors because we can show that self-emptying and absence of self-interest in our relations with others when they don't return our love in kind. And so we ask the Holy Spirit to fill our containers, fill our souls with the Holy Spirit, the eternal love of God.